I don't know. I want to help other people realize it's okay to feel the way you do. I know both things that we go through, Steven goes through. Like, it's stuff that, it's real. Like, you go through it and...
Welcome back to Now We're Dads.
NWD.
Bro, I pointed at you. All right, well, that leads me into today. We have officially made it official. Last time he was on the show, I think it was episode 6, we had you on. You were a guest with us then.
Sure was.
We are going to be seeing a lot more of Jubera coming on.
Hello.
Yeah, it's going to be more of an official co-host with me and Steven. Steven unfortunately can't make it today. Work called him in. And so... but we still need to work on something. He's new, so kind of bear with him. When I pointed at him to say NWD, you saw that?
A little miscue. I mean...
We did.
Wasn't ready for it.
We didn't practice it, but I was like, all right, remember I say NWD? You're going to say it.
NWD. Say it quicker.
Yeah. Now we're getting a little quicker and stuff. Quicker with it. First thing I want to point out is this guy's handlebar mustache. I want to get everyone's honest opinion about it because someone at work told him that it looked stupid.
And I told her I'd get lost. I mean, honestly. Like, I like it. My wife likes it.
Does she like it?
She said she did. I mean, doesn't mean she actually does, but she supports me. So, thank you, Morgan. I love you. Like.
All right. So, today is a very, very big occasion for us, guys. This is officially episode 10. Now, it may not seem like a big deal, but we post the audio on RSS, which is like a podcast hosting platform, and that gets sent out to Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. By the way, is any of the audio listeners, thank you very much. I love seeing you guys there. All like 4 of you that keep tuning into it.
It's like 6, 7.
No, it's like 4. There's like 4 of them, but I love them.
And my mother-in-law, thank you.
Yeah.
You're the best.
But that platform gives us like information about podcasts, right? And one of the biggest thing they said was 76% of podcasts don't make it to episode 10. So this is a big deal. This puts us in the top quarter of just people who just decided to keep continuing, even if there's no money coming in. There's no incentive to keep going other than the fact that we just enjoy sitting in front of this camera and talking about being parents.
Yeah,
being new parents. And I say new, I mean, like, your oldest is now 3. You've been at this for at least 3 years now. My daughter just turned 2.
When you double down, it gets, like, exponentially
greater. Yeah, I still only have 1. I couldn't imagine 2. And I don't know how Steven's hanging on with 5. I don't get it.
I wish he was right here. Like, give us explanations.
Yeah. So, but with everything going on in our lives and how busy we are a lot of times and how tough it is to sometimes get out to record, the fact that we're still pretty close to keeping weekly uploads and almost like at least every other day, sometimes daily short form content.
Yeah.
To keep up with this pace. Throughout episode 10, it actually feels a bit surreal. So I'm very, very happy with where we've gotten, and excited
to be here now.
Yeah,
honestly, dude, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah. So we have a lot of new stuff planned, but first I want to talk about what I know. You've only been on for 2 episodes before. You guys may not know he was on for episode 6, but for episode 5 he was off camera to kind of get more comfortable. With being on, like being around the setting and stuff.
A little nervous. I mean, it might come out now.
It's
only us.
It is a bit weird. We're sitting just by ourselves in front of a camera with no one else around and acting as if we're talking to someone right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it does. It's a learning curve for sure. But what do you want from this?
To help other people. Honestly, you don't know until you go through it. And even when you go through it, you question yourself. And it's like, I mean, you got you have one chance at it kind of thing, but it's also you have a lot, but also the reinforcement of other people of like, oh shit, like I went through that, I felt that, I did that, it's okay. I mean, like that kind of thing, like it's, I don't know, I want to help other people realize it's okay to feel the way you do. Like I know both things that we go through, Steven goes through, like it's stuff that it's real. Like you go through it and you know,
there was a lot of new experiences that we've had while becoming new dads, and
even from one to two, like
the stuff I was doing when she was one versus the stuff I'm doing now that she's two, it's just like completely different.
And I'm even talking one to two, like quantity-wise. Yeah, like dude, it's a whole nother level of like you have to have the same kind of love and also split that same kind of love.
Okay,
it's like you have a pizza, you got 8 slices, and somehow you have to get 16 slices out of that 8. Like it's
without diminishing everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you don't want to put down anything that you're doing for the first one versus the second one. And honestly, like you do it inherently, and you gotta, I don't know, you just gotta know that you gotta give the same kind of effort and love to the second one. Like
Now you've talked about that before. You said, I might be misquoting you, but were you a little nervous to having a second kid because you didn't want to take away?
Honestly, like it was a, we were ready for it, but it was also like, all right, it's happening. You know? Okay.
Yeah, if it's just happening, it's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, with Evie, it felt more of a like a backlash almost of she needs mommy. Like I feel like it was quicker with Gia because maybe experiencing the birth of Evie.
I know there's a lot of guys out there that, like, unfortunately, they may not have the friend group around them who are all becoming parents at the same time. Luckily, that's, like, something that we've realized that we have a lot of us that became parents around the same time.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the questions or things that we need to talk about, we've had ample amount of guys to actually be able to do that with. And like it's tough because we're busy, you know, you got families that you're taking care of. Like it's not like you have the time to sit there and just talk about what's going on. You got to lock in, man. You got to work, you got to take care of your kids, your wife needs you, your kids need you, you always got somewhere to be, man. You know, but this, I'm freezing now too.
I'm happy you froze.
It's weird because like, I talk about this a lot, and you see, like, how much I am always bringing it up, and my idea for it, my vision of, like, this, like, community that I want to build. They have their own shit that they have to kind of deal with. They have their own families that they have to take care of, their own wives that they have to take care of, their own parents that they have to take care of sometimes, and they're trying to juggle everybody, because it seems like a lot of people are working against what they're supposed to be doing, and that's raising their kids. Yeah. And everyone else is putting their business in there. Mm-hmm. And I get that. It's like really frustrating a lot of times. But, you know, hopefully that some of the shit we talk about, you guys can see that we're going through some of the same stuff, man. You know, trying to deal with parents' personalities, in-laws' personalities, and your partner. And that's been solved for me. Now, solved is the wrong word. No, obviously, like I said, I am co-parenting with my daughter's mom. We are not together, but you know, understanding that when you have kids, it changes your life.
Yeah, and even going off what you said with it being solved, it's a
we're not going to use the word solved.
Like, it's a mission that your directive is to parent and take care of your kid the best way you can, and it's. You can sense whatever's going on in your life. Like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all about them. And you also, you understand that if you don't have everything together and you see things start dropping, you're dropping the ball on a couple things, like, you get frustrated in front of your kids and you, like, you know, you might say something out loud that you don't mean or you act a certain way. you punch a wall, you curse or something. And, yeah, like, these things, obviously, as men, we kind of look at each other, we're like, bro, this is just...
It's okay, you did you. Whatever. Like, I get it.
Yeah, we get it. We understand it with each other. We can joke about it all the time, but, like, when you do it in front of your kids, you start to realize, like...
It's like, wow, they've been here 3 years. So, what is that, like, 900 days? Like, that's one of the core memories that they get out of how you're handling situations, how you do things. And then immediately you think, wow, they're going to do that.
Yeah. Like,
it's
a scary thought to kind of know that a lot of the things that we're doing is going to pass on to them.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like a lot of us are super critical on ourselves and push ourselves and are hard on ourselves when we make mistakes. And, you know, we like to be perfect. We don't like to be wrong. And sometimes it looks like we're being arrogant, we're being assholes, or just not really understanding other people's viewpoints, but we're just trying to focus on being the best that we can be, because
you want them to be the best they can be, and you don't want to give them any.
You have to show them. You know, I'm grateful for a lot of the stuff that my mom did, and I'm able to do a lot in my life because I'm able to just replicate what I saw growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But some people don't get that, and I think everyone kind of understands that. So there's some dads out there who, like, probably didn't have the best parents growing up. You know, we talk about, like, yeah, there's things from our past that we might have wished could be different.
Mm-hmm. But they were also trying to figure out their own route, too.
And like, so, I mean, I feel pretty lucky with what they did know.
I'm beyond blessed with what I got. Like, two full-time parents of being full-time parents and then also full-time students of trying to get their own degrees and doing their own thing. Like,
it's a lot on their plate.
Yeah. They had more than what I have right now. And I know how I'm struggling. I can't imagine how, like...
Sure.
Thank you. Like, honestly, like, for everything you've done. Like, it's...
And we understand that some people didn't have even that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying your best to figure your shit out and not push that on.
Yeah. Not push on that. Like, it's...
Yeah, that's something that... something that my mom told me. This was, like, after my daughter was born. And I think about this all the time. You know, my mom had a lot of abandonment issues from, like, her childhood. You know, she didn't get a lot of the love that I was given. She gave me when she was a child. You know, and that's part of the reason why she was like that.
Yeah.
But she also understood that growing up, eventually, myself and my brother, we had to kind of live our own lives. We have to go do our own things. We have to figure ourselves out. And so as much as she doesn't want us to leave because she isn't, like I said, her own abandonment issues, she understood that she couldn't put that on us. She didn't want us to feel like we needed to stay because she was feeling a certain way. And so, but that could never have happened without understanding herself. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hoping to do, at least with this show, is to be able to talk about some of the shit we actually do go through, some of our emotions, some of our feelings, and know that don't make us weak for having them. It's just, if you understand it, you can avoid putting some of that bullshit onto your kids. Absolutely. And at least that they might see it and you can still be you, because it's hard to just change yourself. But if you can show them why you might be like this, and you might be able to at least give them a way of, like, oh, that's just, he's like that because of this, and that doesn't mean I need to be like that. It's just because of what he's gone through. And if we can pass that along, that's one of the biggest lessons you can teach your kids.
That's where it also takes the maturity of just growing up. Because I feel like throughout high school, my parents, obviously they're going through their own things. But as I got out of high school, started becoming an adult, and then I was becoming a father, it just clicks. It's like, oh, wow. Like, I 100% get why you were worried about this. I get why you wanted things to happen the way you wanted it to.
But it forces you to confront your demons a lot faster, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you're seeing yourself like, oh, I'm stressed about... You guys were stressed about
it's like,
that.
I get it. That's I 100% understand why you were stressed.
And like, in the same sense of sometimes you might be frustrated with how your parents might talk to you about your parenting, it also brings you closer to them because you're like, I understand a lot more why you were worried about that. So, Yeah, it's a, man, it's a whole new world, man. It's a, I honestly sometimes feel like everything I did before my daughter, like, wasn't even real. Hmm. I feel like I haven't been awake until like 2 years ago. Like, everything before just feels like a vision, like a blur. So it doesn't feel real. Yeah. I just don't get it. And we're back to Now We're Dads. So, you guys loved it before. We are going to bring back our gaming memory segment. We still don't have a name for it yet.
No.
Steven and I couldn't come up with a name for it. And we were going to, like, put in a graphic, but, like, I still can't think of it. And no one commented on a name for the...
No name? I mean, leave it up to the viewers.
That's what I want. Let them name it. Well, what I want to talk about, we're going to talk about some of the games that we have behind us here. So, you picked two games today.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked one more from different ones that I've picked in the past.
Yeah.
And you said these two games you got a lot of memories with your friends.
Friends, and one of them, especially my dad.
Like, oh, okay.
That's all we did.
Okay, yeah, awesome. So, what is the first game you're going to share for us today? And... gaming memories.
All right. First one. Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
This was...
classic.
Very classic.
This is the first MW2.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, MW2's come back.
No, this was not
It's hard talking to kids who are, like 8 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, I love MW2. And I'm like, oh, gas? Yeah, me too. Yeah. And it's, we're not talking about the same game.
Nope.
At all.
They didn't get the same experience. Like, it was a... just looking at the cover, I mean, this was a game that it was acceptable to be toxic.
Yes, it was.
Almost like, not acceptable, it was expected to be toxic.
You had to have thick skin in these lobbies.
Very thick skin in the lobby.
The lobbies
is what it made. I mean,
my favorite memories of them were some of the open chat after the game was ending. You can hear everyone, including the people you either just beat or just lost to.
Mm-hmm. You'd hear a 10-year-old crying.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was me. I'll be honest. It's like, how did I get killed 45 times? Well,
you fucking campers.
Yeah. Sit in the same spot and you look back. It's like, no, you actually got killed in 45 different spots. But I don't know. One of my core memories of this game. I mean, I had a best friend in grade school. Like, we did everything together. Like, he tried to get me into, like, BMX, skating. Some of the stuff that I didn't even like, I'm like, you know what, you're my friend, I'm going to do it. This was one of the ones that's like, no, I like this, you're going to do it.
Oh, okay, you pushed him onto it.
Yeah, I pushed him onto it. He wasn't really feeling it, but he had a cousin at the time that was, like, 6 years older than us.
Okay.
And he was good at the game. He was good at talking shit. Just the ideal player that you wanted to play with.
Right.
Dude, I remember there was a day that we got called off for a snow day.
Okay.
Joey didn't want to play at the time at all. He was just like, I'm not playing.
Were you guys all at the same house? Or
no, this was all online.
Okay.
We all get on, what was it, like 8:30? Parents just left for work, left us home.
Sure. And you hop on the 360 party?
Yep, I hop on. Joey wasn't feeling it. His cousin CJ, he was like, yeah, I'll play. Never hung out with CJ in my life.
Right.
I hung out with him for 8.5 hours that day. Non-stop, just playing the game.
Yeah.
This man got a nuke and another nuke. He would get non-stop chopper gunners.
I've never gotten a nuke. I've literally never gotten a nuke.
At that time, this kid was...
And you know what I hate? I hate the people that I tell that to.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be like, yeah, I got nukes all the time. And look at you. Like, it's just a normal thing.
Yeah, it's like...
You understand, you're like the one player in the lobby dominating everyone.
Yep.
Everyone else has to suck in order for you to do that.
And I'm...
those guys are so fucking annoying about it. Like, bro, I played COD. I can play. But, like, they'd be like, yeah, I got nukes like every game. Yeah, my KD was like 26-1 every game.
This kid literally had 2.64 KD. I mean, those who know.
That's actually pretty crazy.
Like, put respect on his name. I'm over here struggling with 0.84. I'm like, yeah, like some games I'll go 26-10, other games I'll go 10-16, 10-26. 10:35.
What is your favorite map from MW2?
Afghan.
Oh, word.
Afghan. Dude, that was... Okay. And going back on the new thing, never got a nuke. Never got a nuke. Something that I want to... As an adult, as a dad,
yeah.
As a human being, I want to go back and get a nuke.
You know, MW2 like servers, they're still up. People still play MW2. Yeah, like they, really? Yeah, almost every COD game will have a community to it. It's and like, I think there's like Reddit groups that'll coordinate so that they'll be able to play at the same time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they still play with each other. I was actually playing the first Black Ops probably like a year ago online, sure. Like on PC, and there was a lobby.
Just Black Ops, not Black Ops 2.
No, OG, yeah, OG Black Ops. Because I stopped playing Call of Duty after MW3, and I know Black Ops 2 was like kind of universally loved as like one of the best games in the franchise, mm-hmm. but that's just when I stopped. I started playing other games, you know. I fell in love with a lot of different franchises, but that was my time in Call of Duty. Was like MW2, Black Ops 1, MW3.
A lot of Call of Duty's, it's brain rot. I mean, it's the same thing put over and over again. I'm sorry. I know it's a big fan base. Hot take.
I don't think that's kind of a hot take. I think they've been saying that since back when I was even playing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's something like when you're loving Call of Duty, there's nothing like it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so MW2, it was definitely Rust. And what I was doing back then, this how I got introduced to Call of Duty was I didn't have a 360 yet at the time. I was pretty late to that generation.
Mm-hmm.
I would go to a friend's house. They were these girls who were twins, and they had two 360s in their house. And they would have all the guys over. They were like
local LAN parties.
A couple of the bros. And yeah. We would run LAN parties at their house and run with six to eight of us in their house and play MW2 like on Rust. And be building up our accounts. Because in MW2, you have to like level up even when you're offline. And so we'd be like leveling up our accounts at their house. It's like an account that's only specific to their house.
That's
like,
hold
but on. We were there so much that we were like leveling up and unlocking stuff.
Let me hit that level 70.
Yeah. I mean, I never got to 70. Okay. No. But it was like, yeah, we'd still get to like 20s and 30s and stuff. Of like, yeah. It's just how often we were over there playing. We'd be there all day just playing Call of Duty. And they were like the coolest girls ever. Like these set of twins. And like, a lot of, like, some of my closest friends were from those, like, game nights and some of the parties that they would have and stuff. So, that was, like, a super cool time. And so, I never owned MW2 growing up. I only played it at their house. And then I got my 360 when the first Black Ops came out. Yeah. And that was my first Call of Duty that I was actually full in playing all the time.
That's fair. So, even with my friend's cousin, I used to, we went on vacation. My dad's side of the family, we'd always go on vacation to some spot in North Carolina, South Carolina. Like, the whole family would run out, like, some mansion. Like, it was, like, literally, like, a five-level house. Like, everyone would pitch in whatever the amount was, and we'd just run it out for a week. My cousin Zach, I remember playing, like, yesterday, like, the map Estate. I put on a performance that was not mine.
A performance?
Dude, I mean, when you're getting 16 kills in a row.
Yeah, okay.
Die. 10 kills in a row. Like, two chopper gunners in one game.
You were him there. Right?
He's like, who is this?
You were Himothy.
Yeah. That's what... I am him. But at that moment, I was him. I mean, any other time, like, you catch me by myself in my room, sitting on my futon, my parents yelling up, shut the fuck up!
Oh,
like, dude, I get so mad at the game. Like, I remember my mom constantly saying, like, why the fuck do you play a game that you scream at? Like, just where's the logic?
That's like the only time where I want to talk back to my mom.
Where it's like,
come on, you don't understand.
Like, yeah, what do you mean?
If you don't get it, then don't come.
Like, if you're not yelling at the game, if you're not telling the game that it's fucking stupid, that it's broken, it's it's probably not a good game.
They're cheating.
Yeah, they're cheating.
They need to nerf that.
And this is before a time of Call of Duty Black Ops 6. Actual cheating, like where you had to put in like a.
Nah, there were some cheaters back here, bro. Nah, there were some aimbotters back then. I remember, I was
hit by them, but that UMP.
I got hit by them. That's every time I lost was because of aimbotters.
It's like, how'd that blue tiger UMP just hit me in the head two times across the map? Like, come on.
No, but to your point there, yeah, I don't trust people who don't take games serious.
They get,
if they don't understand the passion, we go live your life with no passion in life?
Video games said it's a cornerstone of having passion as a man.
I take it serious.
Yes.
That means when I'm doing anything else in my life, I take it serious. Yeah, I got passion. Think back to, I'm trying to justify our rage.
I know, dude. Thinking back to getting fucking killed from a Harrier strike inside of a house on a rundown. Like, what do you mean? I'm inside of the building. That Harrier strike's gonna get me? Get the fuck out of here. And then respawn and die immediately from the...
Well, my favorite
what?
Well, my favorite thing is that you're still upset about it.
I absolutely am. There's so many instances where it's like, how'd that happen? Because I know I was on my way to a nuke. I know I was on my way to just being the best player in the lobby, hands down. No.
It was definitely more first Black Ops for me, but I played this at the Twins' house, and so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, MW2 is a classic, man. And Afghan, dope ass map, but Rust all day for me.
360 no scope, no. I wasn't good enough.
No, not at all.
But sitting on top of that cliff, hard scoping people, we're crossing that little like caravan, like rock. Oh,
that is awesome.
Yeah, you know it.
All right, I got a game now too.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your game? I feel like it's a game that I haven't heard before. I don't have the knowledge deep enough to go back that far.
This is a classic in my family, and all of my cousins will know this, and I can't wait to have them over again so we can run it back. But yeah. Me and my cousins, I had an older cousin once who left an OG Xbox back at my grandma's house, and a couple games on it, and me and my cousins who were like my age would play on it.
Yeah.
He was always cool like that. He like left stuff for us so that we can enjoy it. And one of the games we played constantly is Def Jam Fight for New York.
Never heard of it.
This is one of the dopest games in history.
Okay.
I'm a big wrestling game fan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people out there that kind of agree that this is actually one of the best wrestling games ever made.
Really?
Like, actually. Like, I wouldn't say it's the best, but if you're making a top 10 list, this is actually up there in terms of quality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this game has, first off, like 80 playable characters.
Okay.
And like 40 of them are real life rappers. Real life. You're talking Flava Flav, Busta Rhymes. You done. Red Man. Okay. Method Man in there.
Right.
The main villain is played by Snoop Dogg.
Snoop's the villain?
Yeah, Snoop Dogg's the main villain. He plays like, his name is Crow in the game. Yeah. But it's Snoop Dogg and he acts exactly like him. And you're like, there's this whole story where like you're coming up in the world. You make like your own character.
Mm-hmm.
And you get like double crossed. By I think it's Red Man you get double crossed by, yeah. And then like you go fuck him up in the store, and he's all bloody afterwards.
Almost put you're the villain now.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Trejo, another one in there. Yeah. Bro, Lil Kim.
Lil Kim's in the game?
Bro. Yeah, this game is so fucking fun. Sean Paul, another one. Bro, there's like classics in here.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's such a good game, man. And it has, like, one of the coolest stories. I know because I got this game recently. This is not the one from, like, my childhood. Mm-hmm. This was a gift from my daughter's mom for our 7-year anniversary.
Yeah.
So, three-ish years ago, something like that. Two, three years ago, I got this. And I beat the entire game in, like, 2 days. Okay. Like, it's rare for me to sit there and actually sit down and, like, grind a game. Like, how I could when I was in high school. That one, I just sat down and just beat it all in 2 days.
That's
kind of neat too. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is like one of the greatest wrestling games of all time. So anyone who knows out there, yeah, take a look at that. Look at the names. It's got like all the names of the people on the back.
It does.
Yeah, so this is a one that a lot of people are looking to, like, they're wishing this game could come back.
Ludacris Mac 10.
Ludacris is on the, yeah. Ludacris was dope.
Exhibit. Pimp out your ride.
So this is a game that a lot of people are wishing could come back.
It's like a remaster, almost like better graphics.
Unfortunately, it'll almost like never happen because first off, like the licensing, it's really just the licensing that's an issue. It had a bunch of music that belonged to different studios and labels and stuff. And nowadays, like not a lot of labels don't really collaborate as much and make it as easy to have like all these different stars. But like people have like. People have like a dream. Ice tea, so dope. I fucking love ice tea. Yeah. People have like a dream of like what a modern day Def Jam Fight for New York would look like, and it'd have to be something different, right? Maybe like Def Jam East versus West or something like that. But they have a dream of like what would be a modern day version of it, right? With modern rappers.
Yeah.
Right, and not just rappers. I mean, like R&B artists too. People part of the culture and stuff. Hip hop in general.
Pretty toxic. It's different. It's a different game.
Well,
today's a different game with rap.
So, speaking of which, who would you like to see go and fight in a game like this? I think some of the biggest ones you'd see would be like Kendrick and Drake.
Yeah, that would probably hands down the
biggest. J. Cole's got to be in there as well.
J. Cole just is a feature being on. I'll be honest, I'm not a Drake fan, so like, J. Cole just give him a little.
So. But there are some other artists on there. Like, I'd be a big fan of seeing, like, 21 Savage.
See, if you throw on 21 Savage, you gotta throw it back to, like, the Double XL, like, little Uzi.
Yeah.
A little flamboyant, like, whipping shit around. Like, I love Uzi. Like, honestly, I was put onto Uzi before he was on Double XL.
Okay.
I'm actually a big fan of him, but...
But seeing him fight here, you think he'd be a little bit more flamboyant?
He'd be very flamboyant. Like,
I think my favorite person would be DaBaby.
DaBaby, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Kevin Gates.
So, you know, a good villain.
He'd just be kicking. So, yeah, no. Definitely a dream game of mine.
Oh, yeah. I would want to see 6ix9ine get his ass.
Yeah? just put him in.
Like a Kevin Gates just fucking bodying him. Just doof.
Yeah, man, so... so me and my cousins would be huddled around. There was four of us, and we would just be, we would just sit there and play nonstop, just whoop each other's ass for hours and hours. And we'd be in the room, a grandma would come in, and we just all see us punching the fuck out of each other. And one of the most violent games, but she, like, some reason didn't take it away. Ooh. It was that and GoldenEye were the two most common that we played. GoldenEye for the 64, you guys know, classic, classic. Of a party, of like a multiplayer game, but yeah, those were, this game was one of the most important in my childhood there.
Side note, one that was a staple that, I'm not saying it molded me in any way, like don't, if you're playing GTA and you're taking anything from it, stop. Just stop playing the game. But San Andreas, see, that was one that I did not see. I didn't even go in there because I didn't play on PlayStation.
What'd you play on?
Xbox.
360?
Yes. Like, you have it over there too? Did I not see it? Oh, it's a bookshelf that we're going through. Hold on. He's got to scan, what, 100 games over here?
Yeah, we'll say that.
Like, that's the one that gets me. But my uncle, he was going through his own thing at the time. And he watched me play this game, and he literally looked at my mom and was like, how are you letting him play this? Like, almost like projecting out whatever he was going through. My God. Like, I can't wait for GTA 6.
Yeah? You hyped for it?
Dude, it's...
Okay.
It's going to be hard to top this game. This was don't get me wrong, everything that GTA 5's done, it's amazing. But the core memories of any person in their audience sits here. Like, yeah. This is the game that...
San Andreas was that game for me.
Like, I remember, and I shouldn't have been playing it. I really shouldn't have. 7, 8 years old.
Sitting, it's totally fine for Grand Theft Auto. Totally fine.
Thank God they didn't have the run up back of the head punch. Like, yeah, I would have been doing that nonstop.
Nah, but you could go get hookers. You could. You could. So.
That elaborate in a casino.
So like GTA 6 is actually going to be the game that might convince me to buy a PS5. Yeah, I've been holding off from next gen because I play on PC, like any new game that I want to play. And like, if I'm not playing a new game, I'm usually playing my older games on like 360 and PS2 a lot. I was playing my 64 the other night. You excited about
this too? This is a game for you?
But yeah, GTA 6, with everything I've been seeing about it, I might actually just bite the bullet and buy a new console. Jump over to next gen.
So why wouldn't you buy it on PC?
Because it's not going to be on PC. It's not going to be on PC at launch.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be like exclusive.
So it's only console exclusive?
It'll be exclusive for consoles. And I think GTA 5 was like a year.
Oh, we get a win there.
Hold on one second. Try not to see me.
I know.
Stop!
Stop jumping. Stop scratching. You can hang out. Just chill.
Dogs are also harder than kids because they don't look at this as long.
They're so hard. Nah, I mean...
I said, when I'm not.
We had two dogs, two cats.
When
we
now have one cat. I love how he is. Like, I'll be like, fucking, bro, come chill with me. Mm. Like, if I don't have a headache, like yesterday I had a headache and I needed to, like, relax and stuff. And he was like, jumping. I was like, get off me.
He's like, stop.
He didn't even sleep on the bed with me because I, like, pushed him off. He's like,
nope.
He was like,
all right, I don't know where I'm at.
But no, tonight I feel a lot better. So I'll be like, come on, buddy, let's cuddle. It's okay. You can jump all over me. I don't care.
Hey, we're done doing that, right?
Okay. Your next game.
My next game.
Yeah, your final game here.
I had two core memories with this one.
All right, what's up with this?
Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead 1 and 2.
I got two as well, but both of them. Left 4 Dead, classic.
This was
to this day, outside of Call of Duty, best zombies.
Hands down. And at that, like, for me...
I've yet to find a game.
This was one of the only games that, like, my dad would actually sit down and play. He'd ask me to play. Like, if I was... Yeah, if I was done...
Did he play games?
He was more of a NES, like, Nintendo 64, like, the older systems. Yeah. Like, he was super big into those. Okay. And he was a big gamer as a kid. But... The only game that I'm not gonna say took interest into, but like he wanted me to play with him was Left 4 Dead. Like,
really,
it was a game that like we bonded over.
So would you do like split screen?
Oh, split screen! Okay. Like run through, like try different difficulties. It a lot of like kind of going back to where we'd get upset at the game. This was a game that he'd actually like.
This game,
why didn't you do that?
This like, game is tough.
Like, dude, it's
my brother and I played it. A couple years ago, and we were yelling at each other because we couldn't beat Dark Carnival together. Yeah, we were actually mad at each other. We died at Roller Coaster probably like four times.
Like,
he's
coach,
like, he's like, fuck this, I'm going home. And then, he was mad.
I'm done with you. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, we couldn't do it. It was his fault, though. I don't know why he was getting upset. It was clearly his fault. I was depending on him.
It's like, I need
He's literally in the military. If it comes down to shooting stuff, I need you.
It's like, you have a strategy for that. You got it.
Yeah, what's going on? This guy.
He's probably sitting here like, okay. That's how it went down. That's how you remember it. All
right. He's not in the States right now, so I could just say whatever I want about him. So what? So he would come and ask you to come out and play.
Oh yeah.
What was his favorite? Like his favorite map? Do you remember?
His favorite. Because
the maps are like they're like different.
I explicit the reason I mentioned Coach.
Okay.
He only wanted to run Coach.
Hell yeah. There's a man of culture there. That's a man of culture, for sure.
Yeah, I was like, can I be Coach? No. Like, it was just sort of like, nah. Like, I had to pick.
I'm a Rochelle fan myself.
Rochelle was cool.
You know what I'm saying?
She was cool. But, no, one of the core memories I have, too, and I don't want to stray from my dad, but... there was a kid that I went to school with, and I'm not going to even say names because I don't want to, it just, he wasn't a popular kid. He was a, like, kind of like a pick the skin type of kid. Just, people don't want to hang out with him. People don't want to talk to him.
Okay.
Because of Left 4 Dead, I invited him over. We hung out. Dude, he was, I didn't want to play with my dad anymore. Like, he was so good at the game. Like, he knew it, the ins and outs. He was like, hey, come over here, watch this. Just lined up. Like, you couldn't get hit. Couldn't do, like, dude, he was good at the game.
Yeah.
And even at that, like, I feel like that as a...
Get respect for these kids.
Yeah. And even at that, like, it gave me, like, a core memory of, like, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Like, you gotta...
Kid might be picking a skin, but he could be really good at killing zombies.
He could be real good at killing zombies. And at that, like, I don't know. like, even the stuff that we got into, like, we weren't friends. Like, we didn't hang out a lot and we didn't really do anything else. But, I mean, shit. We had a lot of fun. a superficial friendship over a game.
Amen.
Was created. Like, it, I don't know. It was it. Like, sure. it was it for sure.
Dope. You still talk to him?
No. I didn't talk to him after, I mean, this was in grade school. Like, when I, like...
Oh, okay. Like, so you were, like, young then.
Yeah. For, like, sure. Fifth, sixth grade. Okay. Right, your parents dropping you off. Like,
right. Okay.
But I didn't even talk to him after high school.
You think your dad would still play it?
Fucking better. I know he would.
So we're gonna, like, we're gonna have him over then?
Oh, yeah.
Run a LAN party here?
Oh, then that would be it. I mean, I love my dad, but I've seen him play, like, Far Cry and shit.
Yeah.
We'd be carrying him. We'd be carrying him, for sure.
Sorry, we'll just play at a lower difficulty. Yes, play at a lower difficulty.
We'd still be carrying him. No, he can hold his own, but, dude, I'd love to play this game again.
Yeah?
I'd love
we'll to. Run it here, then. Yeah.
And going back to future content, I know it's a dad's stream. I mean...
Dad's stream?
I mean...
Do you guys want to see that?
That's two generations right there. That's a dad with another dad, who's his son, with another dad. I mean...
Do you guys want to see that? So... Every time I bring up the podcast to people, everyone brings up, like, have you thought about streaming? Have you thought about streaming?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't have that, like, idea yet. I would love to play with your dad. I mean, we'll
run it down here. My answer would be no. I've not considered streaming.
But, you know, I do have a lot of games.
I see a ton here.
And it would, I don't know. I just, like, don't know how to, like, set it up. Because, like, I don't want to play, like, new games. I like playing my older games.
Nostalgic. Like,
yeah, I like playing the games I grew up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like playing the games that I grew up hearing about and watching videos on, but never got to play. And so that's what I play mostly now. Like, a lot of the PS2 to 360,
mm-hmm.
OG Xbox, PS3, those two generations of... And seeing all the games I never got to play as a kid. Like, Infamous, I got to beat recently.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about it growing up, and it looked super cool, but I didn't have a PS3 growing up. But now that I'm able to do that because I'm an adult, I was like, I'm playing Infamous, and I had a great time with it. I was like, this game's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that generation of gaming.
I remember playing Infamous, and it was only one day. Like, that's a game that's kind of like Cyberpunk, right? It's not the same, but it's like...
So at all? To be fair, I've never played Cyberpunk.
Like, you have a super ability, and you're going around an open-world city, almost.
Yeah.
Okay, then yeah, I remember playing that one time at my buddy Noah's.
It was a blast.
Dude, was a fun game.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So that's what I'm, like, doing now. So I have, like, no idea how
electricity charge you. Like, that's what...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you, like, absorb, like, lights and stuff like that. It was awesome. If you, like, touch the railings, you would charge up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the railroad stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a really great game. But, yeah, I really don't know how I'd stream stuff like that.
But yeah. I don't
something for me to figure out.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, but if I figure it out, then we'll have a stream with Bear's dad.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Maybe we'll get like my brother in here when he comes back.
What was Steven's favorite game?
Favorite?
Yeah.
He didn't have a favorite.
But it was just like
Blitz the League.
I could say that.
Sports.
Yeah,
sports. Yeah, Blitz the League was one of his big ones, and Wow, why can't I remember his other games? He picked like three games.
Was it NCAA, any of them?
No, I don't. Well, no. I'm sure he played tons of Madden and NCAA, yeah, but I didn't. Dude. I don't have NCAA in my collection.
Yeah.
So, it was, man, wow. Why am I blanking on it right now?
It's easy to.
Yeah, it really is. Blitz the League was the big one. He said his friend, he couldn't beat him, and he was known to be the good one in sports games, but yeah, he couldn't beat his friend at all. And he was like getting really mad. And then like we challenged that friend to come in and rematch him here.
Yeah.
So we're going to see if he pulls up or if he's even told him about the challenge.
Shit. We'll see Steven.
Just grinding.
Yeah, grinding.
Yeah, I was going to come over.
He's out of the game for how long? 10 years.
All right. Well, this was episode 10. We're going to have a lot more stuff planned coming to you guys. Thank you guys again for stopping by. Please tell us a recommendation for a name for our game segment, because we're going to be talking about more stuff from our childhood. And also, we're going to be going over...
I just love the game.
We're also going to be playing some games in the future. I'm not sure how we're going to create the content on it yet, but we'll get it figured out. But appreciate you guys stopping by again. And
Red Dead. That's another one. I'm sorry. I don't.
Now that got you started?
Yeah, not unlike Rump.
Definitely.
Cycling through all the games.
So,
Red Dead Zombies? That matches Left 4 Dead almost. But
Undead Nightmare? Yes. I think I got it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But
Let us know what games you want us to play.
That's the big one. Yeah. What was some of your favorite games from your childhood? Mm-hmm. That's going to be our final question for episode 10. Again, thank you guys. For anyone who is tuning in, we are going to keep going. We're not going to stop.
As hard as it is going to be in the beginning, it's just going to get better. Like, stick around for it.
Yeah, just watch. Like, I think from watching episode 1 to now, night and day difference in quality of lighting and camera work and sound design and no editing, longer holding mics and editing. And
like,
stuff.
Give yourself some credit. Like, you've been putting some work in, dude. Like,
I'm very happy with where we've gotten, but I do see where we can still go. And so stick around, guys, because it's going to be a fun journey.
Yes, sir.
All right. And once again, thank you guys for stopping by to the Now We're Dads podcast. Please check out our social medias, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You know the deal. If you guys are watching the video version, please like and subscribe down below. And while you're down there, please leave a comment and tell us what you guys think of the show so far. If instead you're on the audio version on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform, please rate the show 5 stars to push us up the algorithm. My name is Nazareth, and I'm joined with my co-host, Tony. And finally, now we're dads.